Welcome to the Victorious Souls Podcast with self-love coach Danielle Burnock. Things happen in our lives that make us feel powerless. But Danielle believes that anyone can become a victorious soul by reclaiming what belongs to them, their value, their belovedness, and their God-given superpower. The Victorious Souls Podcast is dedicated to empowering you to rise up, reclaim, and embrace the change from survive to thrive as a victorious soul through the power of love. And now, here's that lady on the internet who loves you, Danielle.
Welcome to the Victorious Souls Podcast with me, your host, Danielle Burnock, that lady on the internet who loves you, connecting you to the love that heals so you can love yourself from survive to thrive. Today, my guest is Darcy Steiner, and she is an author, a speaker, a nutritionist, and a disability advocate whose faith in Christ carried her through near death and disability and is carrying her through it again. So she's here to share her story with us today, and I can't wait to hear all the things because I had a delightful time with a little pre-interview with her and some really important things to share with you, my listeners. So thank you, Darcy, for being with me today.
Oh, thanks, Danielle. It's a pleasure. I'm so happy to be able to share my story. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a powerful story. So before we get into the story, tell us a little bit about you right now.
Sure. So I am married. I have an amazing husband. I call him, his name is Mark, but I call him Remarkable because he's so remarkable. But we've been married for almost 32 years. And God has
congratulations on that.
Thank you. And God has blessed us with two daughters. They're both adults, 28 and 25. Mm-hmm. And one is married and has given us two grandbabies. Ooh. So we're super blessed. We have a grandson and a granddaughter.
That's fun.
Yeah, they're almost 3 and 4 months. So
oh, wow, little one.
Brand new. Yeah.
Oh.
So we have
what are their names?
Riley is our granddaughter, and Owen is our grandson.
Which one's the little one?
Owen.
Oh. Wonderful. Congratulations on your new grandbaby. I have 6 living grandbabies and I love being a Mima. They call me Mima. What do they call? Do they have a name for you yet? Or you go by grandma?
Well, it used to be Mimi, but so is the other grandma. So I became Grammy not too long ago. So I'm Grammy now.
There you go. It's fun having these names. I went by grandma at first, but my grandson could not say that. He would say Mama. But we couldn't use that because you spell that the same way as mama.
Yeah.
So good point. Mima became what it was. So
cute.
I've only met one other Mima too.
Oh, that's so cute. I know there's so many names nowadays. It used to be just grandma and grandpa in America, but now it's whatever.
Yeah. You know. We have fun with that. That's a
good
thing.
Do. Yeah.
So let's get into your story. You went through a near-death experience. What happened?
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, when my kids were little, my oldest was 5 at the time, and my youngest was 2.5. Mm. And I had a fall down the stairs that led to a back injury, and we thought it was just a back injury, but it kept getting worse and worse. My pain actually went down into my feet and my ankles. And so it made me bedridden. I was bedridden for 2 years. But not only that, I was in a wheelchair the following 3 years. But during that time that I was bedridden, somehow this nerve pain disorder crept in. It's called complex regional pain syndrome, CRPS for short. It used to be called RSD, reflex sympathetic dystrophy. And so when this crept in, it was just excruciating pain. And when CRPS is measured on a pain scale, it measures the highest pain one can feel. So it's just horrendous gut-wrenching pain. And it was so bad that I wasn't eating, because when you're in that much pain, you're not hungry and yeah. you don't want to eat. So I didn't. I ate, but hardly. And I could hardly keep anything down because nothing tasted good. And so as a result, I became malnourished. Mm. Yes, people in America become malnourished. And I was one of them. And this is why I almost died, because I wasn't eating. And and add the depression on top of that, because you want to be with your family, but all you are is this lump in bed that's hurting. You know, that's what I felt like. I felt like I had no purpose. I couldn't understand why God would give me two kids and not allow me to raise them. And I couldn't understand why, you know, my husband just lost his job, you know,
The same time.
Yes. Like, things are just caving in on us. And it was just such a difficult time. And so, but this job loss actually became a blessing, because Mark, remarkable, started a home business. And so then he could be home with me and with the kids and help take care of them. Because they weren't, you know, Jenny went to preschool a couple days a week, but that was it, you know?
Yeah.
So we
two and a half, you said, right?
Yeah.
Those are pretty little kids.
They're little. And the thing with CRPS is when you get touched, like just this simple touch to the hand, it makes you want to scream. And so when you have little kids and they want to jump on you like they were used to doing, and you picking them up and holding them close and cuddling, like those activities stopped. They just stopped. And so I'm depressed, right?
Oh, yeah.
So this is contributing to my not wanting to eat. And I wanted to get better, but I didn't know if I would get better. And so we prepared for the worst, and we prepared our will. We talked about what the end would be like, and, you know, we were preparing for my death. And I had a counselor who came by my bedside. She hardly charged us anything, and she came weekly.
Oh,
and
wow.
The thing with her was she was also a nutritionist, and so she was trying to help me nutritionally. You know, Darcy, you've got to eat. And you've got to figure this out on your own, because doctors don't know what to do. And so it's up to you. You know, you've got to do something here.
No pressure, laying in bed, depressed and in pain, and you got to fix yourself.
And it's up to me. Yeah. But you know what? She was right. She was right. And this was her question. She said, "What do you know that you should be doing that you're not doing? What do you need to do that you're not doing?" And I said, "Eat." And she said, "Okay, then figure out a way to eat." And so leaving it up to me was really kind of the turning point, because then I figured out a way to eat, and it was through drinking. Mm. It was through drinking this protein shake. And I actually liked it, and it was easier to drink calories than eat them. And I gained some weight, which made me gain some hope. And I was eating now, and I was like, I kind of like this nutrition thing, you know, it's kind of working for me here, because, and I can geek out on amino acids, but there's, you know, with protein powder, you've got amino acids that are helping my muscles. They're helping my brain, right? Wow. So it's helping my mood. It just started helping me.
And so it started like maybe pressure of you have to figure this out turned into empowering, taking ownership of your own life.
It did. It took it took the pressure off doctors because I was so upset with these doctors. I'm like, why can't you figure out what's wrong with me? Why can't you heal me? You know, putting the responsibility on other people. Who else did that? Adam and Eve. Like, we have to take responsibility.
We have to take ownership. Ownership, not even just responsibility, but ownership. I mean, that's the subtitle of my book, Because You Matter. And because ownership, it becomes mine. Instead of responsibility, it could be a should. And it's a little bit different than that. So, and you took ownership of that. And it empowered you. That's really cool.
Well, that's my counselor. I mean, and she was my counselor for 25 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she, at that point, she had just begun counseling, but anyway, she's remarkable too, and gave me so much empowerment. So anyway, I started falling in love with nutrition, and I was like, thank you. And counseling, because, you know, counseling really got me through, and her question really helped get me through. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I started getting better, and Mark was able to get me down the stairs and into the car to go to the therapy pool. Now, the therapy pool was also key, and it was my lifeline, because then I could try to start walking again. So at this point, I wasn't able to walk at
all. How long had it been at this point?
Almost 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
How were your kids surviving through this time emotionally in that? How were they handling that?
Good question. It was hard on them. And I think they didn't realize when they were little how much it would impact them. Mm. And honestly, right now is when they're really going through it. Both of them are going through it right now, trying to figure out, you know, what happened. Like, Nicole was too young to remember. Like, she mm-hmm. didn't even remember. Mm-hmm. But it still impacted her, because at 2.5, her mommy had to stop holding her.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and she's a child development PhD oh, wow. student right now. So she's helping children, and she's trying to figure out herself what she went through. And
addressing her own trauma. Yeah.
Yes. And not even remembering it, but knowing that it's in her psyche, and she's dealing
with
it.
The body keeps the score. That book title's right.
It is. What a great book. Oh my gosh. And then Jenny, you know, she's got her own kids, her own little kids, and Riley's the age that I had to stop holding Nicole.
Oh, so this can be a way to view trauma. It's how I talk with my clients and how I've shared on the podcast before, people who dismiss their trauma and say, well, it wasn't that bad. And I'm like, well, you're an adult now. You're looking at it from an adult brain. But mm-hmm. your little granddaughter is 5. And so you can imagine her going through that, and it helps us understand that child processing instead of our adult processing.
Yeah. When you see yourself as an adult having this kid, and you think back to your childhood and like, wow, this would have really impacted my family, you know? And so at the time, it seemed like they were adjusting really pretty well. You know, Jenny, they were both happy. Nicole, however, she was more introverted, and she loved playing with little barn animals. And she would pretend and have conversations, you know, between the animals. So she would sit on the bed, and I would, you know, try to play with a little horsey with her. And she would say, Mommy, horsies don't talk like that. Or, you know, so we would still play, but in a different way.
Well, that's good. That's something.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted as much interaction with them as I could. And we would play I Spy a lot, you know, just different games where mm-hmm. I could still interact, but not hold them. Mm-hmm. You know, they would still be close, but not too close so that they wouldn't bump into me, you know? Mm-hmm. We set up a coloring station. Well, Mark set up a coloring station, different stations around the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And we would watch TV. We would watch cartoons together. And so we did, we were together. We were together.
Well, that's awesome. So you really found a way to mitigate the trauma that they were going through, the experience there. So it's probably, I'm sure it will affect them, but probably yeah. far less had you not done all those intentional things with them. Because they can point to those as they process it, but mom did this. Well, she didn't do this, but she did do this. And that can be very helpful.
And I hope it does help their processing to mm-hmm. know. And if they're listening, I was involved, you know, mm-hmm. I was there. We didn't send them off someplace, you mm-hmm. know, and daddy took care of them and mommy did the best that she could. And, you know, and yes, it still hurts. And it yeah. hurts, you know, when I look at my grandkids and I think, wow, they were really little when yeah. this happened. So it was depressing. I'll tell you that it was actually, you know, how I told you that the pain on the pain scale for CRPS mm-hmm. is the highest pain one can feel. I have to tell you, the emotional pain was worse.
I can appreciate that. I think emotional pain is worse than physical pain, but that's just an opinion. I'm not a doctor.
Well, the combination of the two was just like a horror movie. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But God was there. God watched this whole thing and he was holding us the whole time, even though we didn't know it. Mm. You know, it's hard to know that God's holding us in the middle of pain when we're in the middle of the pain, mm-hmm. you know, like the Israelites, when they came out of the pain, you know, out of the desert and into the wilderness, you know, they could appreciate the wilderness time. But we don't appreciate the wilderness until we've come through it.
Yeah.
You know, and can see the benefits actually, because there are many benefits that came from that time. And the biggest benefit was our relationship with God, our dependence
wow.
on God.
Well, this first time through, you got healed. How did that happen? I mean, you got completely healed from that, right?
Yeah.
So tell us about that. How did that happen? You're starving, and then this nutrition stuff comes in. We got some protein stuff. Hey, I like this. This is good. So yeah. How did it go from that, and how long did it take? It would have been 2 years at this point, so...
So now I'm going to the therapy pool, and I had been going to the therapy pool for 3 years. So I'm in the wheelchair at this point, and we have a bed downstairs. So I'm more interactive with the kids, and there's actually kids that come over from the neighborhood and come and play in my wheelchair and on the stair glide and jump on the bed in the living room. And it was the best house on the block. So the kids are appreciating that mommy's not stuck in her bedroom, but, you know, and I could help them with things, you know, because I'm able to walk a little bit on land now. Mm. So the pool therapy enabled me to begin walking. And over those years, I, you know, God strengthened my body and I was able to walk and regain my walking ability, which I'll tell you is indescribable, to go from almost, you know, near death to, and now I'm walking, interacting with my family again. And what made that difference was I began studying for nutrition. Mm-hmm. And I decided I'm going to get a degree in this field because wow. I'm watching it help me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm my case study. Right? I'm my case study now. And I'm mm-hmm. watching the things that I'm studying in my nutrition books. I'm practicing on myself. And so it's a real, this is real. Like, I'm not helping a client. I'm helping myself. And so God used good food and nutrition to help heal me. And it took me 6 years to get this degree. No, they give people normally 4 years, but because of my circumstance, they allowed me 2 additional years. And it took me 6 years, but I studied, became a nutritionist, opened a private practice. I still had a little bit of pain, but not much. And I'm helping people like me who have chronic pain. I'm helping people with weight loss. I'm helping people with weight gain, right? Because I had to gain weight. And so a year after I opened my nutrition practice, so this was 2008 is when I opened my nutrition practice. By 2009, I had no pain. And I'm walking completely normal. I got hired by the local high school to do their sports nutrition program. So I'm teaching sports nutrition now, not only to the kids at the school, but guess who's the kids at the school? Who has kids at the school? We do. My two daughters are in those sports nutrition programs.
Wow.
So they got to see me work. They got to see me giving, and what a transformation, you know, and the things that mom's teaching, she's right. she's right. You know, amino acids are going to help you perform better in your sport. You know, it just is. And so now, you know, I'm hiking with my family. I'm going to all these activities at school for the girls. I didn't miss one. I didn't miss one game. I didn't miss one parent teacher conference. I was there. I was full on. Yeah. So complete transformation. And this is because of God.
Wow.
This is because God does cause miracles to happen today. And it wasn't immediate. You know, it took a lot of years and it took a lot of hard work, mm-hmm. a lot of commitment. It took a mindset of you just do the best you can today and you don't worry about tomorrow, but you don't give up. And when you get knocked down, you get back up.
Amen.
You just keep getting up and you keep going. And these little tiny steps, you know what? They add up. So
what a victorious soul. What a victorious soul. Wow. But then you had another setback. Something happened. You had a thriving business for 9 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
9 years. And then something happened. What happened?
Yeah. Okay. So my daughter, my oldest, gets married. Beautiful wedding. We love our son-in-law. And so the wedding goes great and we send off the bride and the groom and everybody's happy and we clean up. And I had forgotten my dress in the facility, the venue. So I go in to get my dress and I'm kind of running, and that amount of pressure on the wood floor caused a chair to fall, and the chair fell and hit my ankle. And when it hit my ankle, it felt like my ankle broke. Mm. That's how bad it hurt. And it was just a chair falling on my ankle. But what happened was this reinitiated the CRPS again. And so I'm back lamenting. I'm just celebrating that my daughter got married.
Yeah.
And now I'm sitting on the floor getting ice. And I knew at that moment, this is CRPS again, because a chair shouldn't have hurt me that bad, but it did. And I'm like, really, God, really? Like, what didn't I learn the first time? What did I not learn the first time? It took so long to get out of this, and you're allowing me to go through this again. I just don't get it. I don't understand. And at my daughter's wedding, I mean, thankfully it was after pictures, you know, I got to see the wedding, but still it was, you know, an important event. So, I go to the doctor and get x-rayed, and my ankle is not broken. And he said, it's going to take 6 weeks, you know, stay off your foot for 6 weeks and let this heal. And I'm like, but my bone mass, because I went through this before, right? I lost bone mass. I had osteopenia. And I'm like, I can't do that 6 weeks. Well, we didn't know I had CRPS. He didn't know I had CRPS. And it wasn't just a sprained ankle. Mm. It was CRPS. Mm. And little did we know at that time that it would be 5 years before I'd really start coming out of it again.
Wow, did you get bedridden again?
I wasn't totally bedridden like the first time, because I knew this time that you can't lay in bed. You can't lay there. You've got to do some kind of movement, even though you can't walk. So I laid on the mat. We had put a mat on the floor, and I still have the mat on the floor. It's on the floor in my living room. And I exercise on it, and I pretend like I'm walking in the air, and I do, you know, my arms circles in the air, and mm-hmm. I go to pool therapy still. But yes, I still have severe pain, but I'm able to start walking again. In fact, a couple days ago, for the first time, I walked with my granddaughter up the block and back.
Wow.
And what a feeling. Like, I shared it on Facebook. It's on Facebook, people. It's like, there's pictures, and it was just, it's like I'm coming back again.
Danielle, how long has it been now? You said 5 years, 6 years?
It's been a little over 5 years.
Wow.
And I'm coming back. I'm doing the same things. I'm having my protein shakes. I'm practicing my nutrition. I'm doing pool therapy. I'm getting up when I'm down. This time, though, I decided that I was going to share my story through a book. Because the first time people said, write a book about how you came out of this. And I can't write that book, because I'm not going to write about the depression and what my kids went through. I'm not going to expose them to that. Mm. And so this time, you know, they were grown up. And so this time I decided I'm going to share my story through the second round. And it's about, so my book is about gifts in suffering, discovering gifts mm-hmm. in suffering. Because
what's the name of your book? And do you have a copy with you?
Sure. There's a book and a study guide. It's Beauty mm-hmm. Beyond the Thorns, Discovering Gifts in Suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I talk about 30 gifts that I have discovered in suffering. And, you know, the main thing that I learned this time, I didn't learn everything the first time. Remember when I said I asked
yeah.
God, what didn't I learn the first time? There were a lot of things I didn't learn the first time. And I can say this now, but I couldn't have said it even a year ago. I'm so grateful that God allowed me to go through this again, because he's shown me more of himself. And what can you have that's better than that?
Wow.
Like, I have a deeper, closer relationship with God as a result, and that's the best gift I could be given. And yes, I still have pain, but I have God, and mm-hmm. God will help me through. And the 30 gifts that I talk about, if you read my book, you'll understand more what I mean. But, you know, like the gift of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you go through something deep, you have more compassion for what other people are going through, right? I mean, you just...
Hopefully, some people get better. But if you don't get better, then if you develop compassion, that's quite a gift to have.
Yeah. And I use my kids as an example. So, Jenny, so the daughter that got married, she had forgotten her lunch one day. And so the school called us, and Mark had to bring, luckily he was home. And so he brought her lunch to school and saw her out at recess. And what she was doing was she was playing with a boy in a wheelchair.
Mm.
She was playing with this boy who no one else was playing with.
Wow.
Now, do you think that this didn't impact her in a positive way?
Yeah.
She learned to have compassion.
Yeah.
On people. And she knew what it was like to be to have a mom in a wheelchair. So she mm-hmm. figured no one's playing with this boy. And so she's drawn to him and she's helping him. And she is a child life specialist today. So she works at the hospital and she helps children through difficult situations. So this formed my children to work with children who go through physical ailments, you know?
Wow. Wow. Sounds so, like that scripture in the Bible where it says he works all things together for the good. He'll take the, how I like to put it, he takes the crap and he makes mm-hmm. it useful.
Yeah, that's a good, I like that. Yes, he does. And so there's just different things that I've watched, you know, the man with the shriveled hand, right? Mm-hmm. He's going, Jesus is like, you know, and he's pulled out of the crowd and he's like, hold out your hand, I'm going to heal it. So he holds out his hand and God heals this shriveled hand and makes it whole. But he had to have courage to not run away.
Yeah.
He obeyed instead mm-hmm. of running away.
Yeah.
And so when we hold out our disabilities, when we hold out our hurts and our pains for God to use for the benefit of other people, God will do that.
Yeah.
We just have to turn ourselves outward and not be inward focused. Mm-hmm. And when we're in pain, we're usually inward focused. Mm-hmm. But if we can figure out a way to turn that pain outward, it not only helps the people who are watching us, it helps ourselves not feel the pain so much. Mm. And that's how I get through.
Wow.
Is I know God's using me to help other people, and that helps me with my pain. Wow. So by being outward focused, I think, you know, it's hard to see, and we have to put on these night goggles when we're in the dark. When we're in the dark, we cannot see, right?
Yeah.
But if we put on night goggles, what do we see? We can see something. We have to look for the good in the dark by putting on night goggles. The good is there, I guarantee it. Mm-hmm. We just have to look differently at our lives and find it. It's there. So,
yeah, so the night goggles are looking for what's good.
Yes.
Looking for it. Proactively looking yes. for it.
You have yeah. to put on those night goggles when you're in the wilderness so that you can see, because you can't see unless you're really actively looking for the good. It's not just going to appear before you. You have to look. Yeah. You have to say, oh, I can look outside and I can see flowers. That's beautiful. Those flowers are there for God. God put them there for me to see. Yeah. Like, that's beautiful. But we have to look intentionally. And yeah. those night goggles help us to do that. It's a tool that we can use to help us through our suffering.
Yeah.
It helps us find our purpose. Yeah. There, because there is purpose in our pain. It's God loves us so much, and he's not going to allow us to go through something for nothing. Mm-hmm. He's going to allow us to go through something to help other people and to help grow us so that we can know him better. And that's, he desires us and he's seeking us. And so he wants us to seek him back. And when we do that with our night goggles, we really can see.
That's
I love
awesome.
You too. Yeah.
I love that. I love that vision, the night goggles. It's just a beautiful illustration. That's wonderful. Mm. Something else that you had said to me that I would like my listeners to hear also is you talked about finding purpose instead of a reason. How did you come to that?
Well, we're always looking for a reason, you know, why God? Mm-hmm. Why? And we can't understand the why. God knows the why, and that's enough. We need to be able to leave the why in his hand and not look for that reason. But we do need to find our purpose. So we can determine that. Like I decided, okay, I need to stop focusing on myself and my pain, and I'm going to start focusing on other people. And just that decision right there helped me find my purpose. And I don't need to know the why. God knows the why, and that's enough. I just need to follow my purpose. And we find our purpose when we choose to give. When we turn outward, our purpose is never just to be focused on ourselves, to be selfish. That's not a purpose. So we find our purpose when we turn ourselves outward, and then God can use that and he will direct us where we're to go. That's another gift that I mentioned in my book, is the gift of direction. God will direct us once we turn outward. We don't need to worry about where he's going to take us. He'll take care of that too.
That's awesome. That's really powerful. Thank you for sharing that.
Before
we tie this up, is there something you want to make sure the listeners hear from you, or you want something to say to them, something you want them to know?
Yes, I would. Thank you. I just want to encourage the listeners not to give up. No matter what suffering you're going through, there is a reason. There's a purpose. There's a purpose behind your pain. And never, never give up. And even if it's just like a piece of dental floss, like if that's all you feel like you have to hold on to, hold on and don't let go. There's good that can come from this. So don't ever give up. That's my encouragement.
I echo that too. Don't ever give up. There is hope. We can find hope. Put on the night goggles to look for hope, right?
Right, exactly.
Awesome. So how can my listeners connect with you? Are you on, what socials are you on? What's your website? I will have everything in the show notes, but it's for those listening so they can hear it.
Sure. So my website is darcyjsteiner.com. And the spelling of my name is a little different, so look in the show notes for that. I am on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, like just about everything, YouTube, Pinterest. Yeah, it goes on. And I have a newsletter. It's called The Upside of Suffering. And so I put some nutrition tips in there. I put some writing tips in there because I have authors that follow. And so a little bit of nutrition tips, a little bit of writing tips, and a lot of spiritual encouragement. And so you can find that on my website and subscribe from my website to that.
And where can people get your book if they want to get a copy of your book?
Yeah, probably Amazon is the best place.
Okay.
BarnesandNoble.com. I have an audio book, so Audible. And I've got the study guide that goes with it. So Bible studies go through it together, and it's powerful when it's done together. I've done it myself at my church, and it was just transformative, you know, for everybody to share their suffering stories, widows, just divorcees, you know, chronic pain people, no matter what pain you're going through.
Right. Yeah, suffering comes in all different kinds.
Yeah. So the study guide is there for that too.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for being with me today, Darcy. This is just so impactful and feeding hope. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Danielle. Thank you for what you do and putting hope out there, because I wouldn't have this opportunity without you. So thank you.
And thank you for fighting. You didn't give up. So you are a good illustration of not giving up also.
Yeah, we're all still going, right?
Yeah.
We all just keep trying.
Yeah. Well, thank you, listeners, for being with me today. And go through the show notes, get a copy of Darcy's book, buy one for a friend. Christmas is coming. So they make a great gift, I imagine, for someone who needs that. So thank you. Until next time, mwah. I love you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Victorious Souls Podcast. You matter and you are loved. We'd love to connect with you further, so please visit us at danielleburnock.com and grab a copy of Danielle's free audiobook. And remember, only you can change your life. No one can do it for you.